bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show will be focused on our nation's birth and our nation's history. And I'd like to just say happy birthday to the United States of America. It's our country. It's a great country. And one of the things I'd like to put on the table today is that we have to do all that we can to help our nation to thrive in the future. And so as we, as United States citizens and immigrants coming in to join our nation, we really open up the opportunity to serve other people and to build our nation up. And that's community service, truly, and we are called to it. The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And so we want to help our nation to succeed and its people truly to grow and to flourish. And one of the things we're going to do today is talk a little bit about what's happening in America. And I'll just open it up now because this is Finding God in Prison. So it is dedicated to helping people who are incarcerated to come home early and to build up their families, their own individual lives, and also the community. And giving back to the community is a big part of the WINGS program. So I want to give you a little bit of statistical information with regard to crime in the United States. Crime is alive and well in the USA. As a nation, we have relatively high crime rates. However, they have decreased significantly over the past 25 years. The American government categorizes crime in two ways. A criminal act is either a violent crime or a property crime. The four criminal behaviors that fall into the category of violent crime include aggravated assault, robbery, homicide, whether intentional or accidental, and rape. In the year 2020, the most common type of violent crime committed in the United States was aggravated assault. Robbery was the next type of violent crime to take place most often. And although homicide rates have always been pretty high in America, they still only accounted for about 5 cases per 100,000 people. The average crime rates in America during the year 2020 were these. Homicide, 6.5 deaths per 100,000 people. Robbery, 73.9 cases per 100,000 people. Aggravated assault, 279.6 instances per 100,000 people. Burglary, 314.2 cases per 100,000 people. Larceny, 1,398 cases per 100,000 people. And motor vehicle theft, 245.9 cases per 100,000 people. Crime rates decreased in the United States from 2016 to 2020. And this is good news, but it also isn't that impressive when you look at the numbers. Take a look at the values below the crime that involved guns and criminal activity that resulted in murder, if that wasn't the goal in the first place. These numbers are still quite large, and they are evidence of the reality that the United States still has a long way to go before crime becomes abnormal instead of the norm. And so, my friends, I laid that out for you because our focus in the WINGS program is to help criminal activity to decrease, to lower the recidivism rate in America. and to help inmates to change their lives, to find new work, maybe even go to work for the first time on the books, as we have had many, many people who have been selling drugs, robbing and running, doing burglaries, home invasions, petty theft, all kinds of criminal activity has been through the WINGS program. So our goal is to help men to make changes. And if you're out there listening, again, this is Finding God in Prison. If you're incarcerated right now and you are listening to this program, I encourage you, I challenge you, I inspire you to make some changes right now, to get a pen and paper and to start making the first, second, and third change that you would like to make in your life. And we will help you to do it. And I tell you that, my friends, because if we don't help men and women inside who are incarcerated to make changes, when they come home, it's very likely that they will continue with the same kind of activity. So our job, our goal is to help people to make a significant impact on themselves first. And when they have changed, going from a greedy to generous, impatient to patient, all kinds of changes have to be made personally. And our goal is to help them to do it as swiftly and as timely as possible. But it does take time and it takes God's help to make changes in people. And so one of the things I wanted to point out is that these statistics are really important, and they come from the crime rate by the state, which is updated in August 2022. But in working with inmates in prison, the incarcerated population, you know, there's no crime that we haven't seen, from murder to rape to burglary to home invasion to petty theft, once again, selling drugs, all kinds of different crimes. And people do it, you know, for the money very often, and they are really continuing in that path unless we give them opportunities to change. So this is the 4th of July coming up. It's our nation's birthday. It's a great time to acknowledge the United States as a unique and a great country, which has truly helped a lot of people to form great families, great businesses. And if you're out there looking for change, there's no better opportunity right now to get some education, start your own business, build up yourself, build up your family life, and to really move forward as a individual after incarceration. And you know, my friend, success in reentry is so important. Historically, the WINGS program has had close to an 80% success rate, which I'm very pleased with, very proud of. It's not that we haven't lost some people to overdose on drugs, or people who have gone back to selling drugs, people who are serving life and will never come home. But we have done all that we can do to help people to make changes. Because once again, if we don't help the individual who's incarcerated to change his type of work, it's very likely that they'll come home and once again be engaged in that kind of activity. And they are setting truly a precedent for their children, as many of the children of inmates will go to jail one day as well. Our job is to help them to prevent that and to get the actual inmate himself to help his children himself to avoid incarceration. And with that, I want to go back to the Constitution of the United States of America. And here it is, my friends. It was written in 1787. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And as we look at that opening paragraph, we can see the unity of the people of the United States, set together to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, versus injustice. And I want to talk about each piece of the puzzle in that paragraph, starting out with justice, which is so important, because Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And he was a real leader and who was really fighting against injustice in the United States. And so with that, what can you and I do to make sure that justice is served in a proper way and that it's not corrupt, that it's not deviant? We want to make sure, my friends, that in the workplace, in government, in family life, that there is justice. We establish a true and honest way of justice. And truly, God is a God of justice. Ultimately, he will bring justice to an unfair situation. But whatever we can do, you and I, to advocate for greater justice, we're going to do it. And that's what the Wings program is all about, really, to help men who have decided to make changes, to help them to get home early, to make some positive impacts on their family life, on the community. And this is important. The next segment talks about to ensure domestic tranquility. Now, if you look around our nation during the last few years, have we had domestic tranquility? And the answer truly is, you know, from time to time, yes. But from time to time, we've also seen moments of violence. We've seen an abundant, you know, number of school shootings and shootings in shopping malls and different areas of the country, different states. And so, you know, yes, we have domestic tranquility overall, but we have, you know, moments of sheer terror. And you can see that on the nightly news. I know in Philadelphia there's been more shootings, more homicides, you know, than in recent years. We've seen it in Chicago and other cities as well. And so, once again, domestic tranquility was the goal for the, you know, Constitution. And that document, you know, is the truly the core, the root of the United States. So can we get back to a more tranquil environment with our nation? How do we do that? And I think this is where God's laws and God's way of doing things becomes paramount. We really need to integrate what God says to do and not to do into society. Instead of removing God's word, we want to integrate it as often as we can. And that's the challenge for you and I, my friends, whether you're in a school, a family, a government situation, can we put some of God's ways back into the equation? Domestic tranquility, you know, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is very powerful. And if I have peace, I can bring my brother peace. If my son has peace, he can bring peace to me. But when there's no peace, we're lacking that peace, and we have something else. We could have anger. We could have fear, depression, anxiety. So one of the great goals for the nation is to have domestic tranquility. And we're not even talking about, you know, tranquility abroad, peace abroad, where we have no war. Our job here in the United States truly is to set the example for other countries. And right now we have an abundance of, you know, crime throughout major cities in the United States. So if everybody does a little bit to bring more peace, more domestic tranquility to their environment, maybe things will change for the better. And I challenge you, my friends, to do what you can in your own circle and to get other people involved to understand and appreciate the Constitution, which is, you know, has been set up in 1787 to bring, to ensure domestic tranquility for the people of the United States. The next segment goes into providing for common defense. And so this is where we have a common defense for our nation. We have a military that's truly protecting the people of America. And with that, we want to be fair. We want to be just. We want to incorporate, once again, what God says to do and not to do. Now, in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, which is dedicated to the right to bear arms in the year 1791, is truly a great right and a privilege for people to protect themselves, their families, their property. And I know that this is an important amendment, the right to bear arms, to defend oneself, not to be aggressive and to turn it around. That's the illusion that many people have, that because you own a gun, all of a sudden you're an aggressive person and going to go out and shoot other people. Not true. Many of the people who have taken out other people in large mass shootings were depressed, were involved with mental illness. And so I just tell you that because it's not the gun that makes the bad situation as much as it is the person whose mental situation needs to be enhanced, needs to be corrected. And so this is a follow-up on one of the shows we did on mass shootings about 2 months ago. And I feel confident that, the Constitution has laid it out properly when it says we want to provide for the common defense of the people of the United States. We also want to promote the general welfare. So we want people to have basically a good life. The general welfare of the people of the United States of America. Are we doing that? Are we doing too much? Are we doing too little? What can we do to make some corrections and to really get back in line with what the Constitution, which was written in 1787, has laid out? The last segment has to do with securing the blessings of liberty. Liberty is the freedom, that we want to talk about in just a second here, but the liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. And the freedoms that are involved here, which are so important, were laid out in 1791. Again, the Constitution, which was written in 1787, have laid out the First Amendment in 1791 and lays out the rights of freedom to religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and the freedom to petition. So this country, when you think about America, it's really an opportunity to highlight the freedoms that we have. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people like to come to America, to enjoy the freedom of religion, the freedom to worship God freely, the freedom to pray, and the freedom of speech, to speak out, speak your mind, and to really engage in debates often. But the freedoms that we're laying out here of religion and speech and press, the freedom to assemble as a group and to petition the government, is a very positive step in the formation of a nation, because it gives people a way out. It gives them a right to make things a little bit better from their point of view. And as we look at these freedoms, in the eyes of God, what does God say about these kinds of things? The freedom, let's talk about that, of religion. Okay, and some countries, who are opposed to God, you can be incarcerated for having mass. You can be incarcerated for, standing up for Jesus Christ. There are many examples of injustices in other countries where religious freedom is truly religious persecution. Okay, even in the United States, many years ago, Catholic priests were incarcerated for saying Mass in the early 1800s. So we have, a beautiful country. We're celebrating its birthday coming up on July 4th, 2023. And we want to celebrate with that the beautiful Constitution, which was written again in 1787, and the privileges, the rights that were given to us in the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, the freedom to petition the government. But with that, we want to understand that we want our country to grow and to flourish, to blossom, to continue to be a great country, a great nation, to provide, you know, everything that the people here need in the necessities of life. In addition to that, we want to acknowledge, you know, some of the, you know, protective amendments that are out there for the people, like the Fourth Amendment, which is the right for search and seizure. Okay, and this is important because we want to ultimately protect the people within the United States. We want to protect other people from people who have bad intentions. And to search a vehicle or home where there's potentially some dangerous things going on, it's a good thing, and I hope you would agree with that. This is a, you know, very important thing as we lay out the amendments, you know, as we go through, you know, some of the amendments that truly give the people a better position in life. The Seventh Amendment talks about the right to a jury trial. So you're innocent until proven guilty, and you have the right to a jury trial. And this was established once again in 1791. You also have the right to for protections against excessive bail, cruel and unusual punishment. And this is, you know, for the person, the man or woman who's been incarcerated, who has been arrested, incarcerated, and who is in a position where maybe, you know, they might be held with a very high bail and possibly exposed to cruel and unusual punishment. So we want to be fair, we want to be just, and we want to realize that sometimes people who are innocent are actually, you know, brought to prison and serve time and then are proven innocent within years to come. And that's happened many, many times. There's also been a great number of people who were convicted wrongly and then who were exonerated after the DNA proof has been established. You know, with technology, we're able to really bring DNA into the equation. And if the evidence, you know, doesn't, you know, fit the crime, that you must acquit the individual. So I just tell you that, you know, we have a great nation in front of us. What are you and I doing in terms of you know, community service for our nation? What are we doing in terms of educating our kids as to the true, you know, greatness of America? And it's not that mistakes haven't been made, because with every human being, mistakes will be made, and we know that. But as we lay out the Constitution, we see that the United States of America was formed with good intentions. And we're going to read it again just to make sure we're all aware of the good intentions that were laid out for the people. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So the intentions were good. And we know that there have been some, you know, great injustices over the years within the United States, namely slavery and segregation, which are two very, very difficult topics to discuss, but we must do it. We must acknowledge the fact that those mistakes were made, but with God's help, we can move forward. we can and we will move forward. And I believe that one of the things we want to acknowledge is the ability to love other people. Regardless of the race, creed, or color, can we love other people in the way God would like us to do it? The second greatest commandment is to love one another. And I believe that this may be the greatest solution to the problem of violence in America and division in America. Can we cross those party lines, if you will, and to offer love to other people in all realms, in government, in schools, in homes and families and communities? Can we cross those lines against race, creed, or color? Can we break down the walls and do whatever we can in the eyes of God? Can we do whatever we can to bring the peace to America? Again, we celebrate 4th of July, the country's birthday, coming up this Tuesday. It's a beautiful time to acknowledge the opportunity to bring the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And as a spokesman, truly in the WINGS program, helping men to make changes, I challenge you and I to make the positive impact that we are called to make in the eyes of God, to speak out loudly, to truly bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people once again, and to not sell them short. What kind of messages are you giving to your kids about the United States of America? Are we standing strong in patriotism? Are we standing up for the United States strong? And regardless of the person in front of you, are we bringing the goodness of the American people out into the public eye? The good things that we have done over the years to help other people. This is important. And as the immigrants pour into this nation, I challenge each and every one person to do one thing every day for someone else, to make a difference in the lives of many. And many years ago, I was given something special from Joan Fairburn, a real heavyweight in criminal justice. She was our secretary for 13 years before she passed away, and she said this: 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the type of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. So, my friends, I lay that out because the children are our future. What can we do to help the children? If each person does one thing every day to help another person, this country will be even greater than it ever was. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July. And we'll see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.